January, I underwent major abdominal surgery in London. And at the time, it was thought that my condition was non-cancerous. The surgery was successful. However, tests after the operation found cancer had been present.
In an emotional video message, the 42-year-old Princess of Wales saying she's now undergoing preventative chemotherapy treatments.
It has taken us time to explain everything to George Charlotte.
Loads of farmers from across Britain are going to descend on London. We're meeting at New Covent Garden Market from about 2 o'clock. And at 5:30, we will set off for Parliament Square and go up Whitehall and spin around a few times, no doubt, to ensure that the public feel our presence and that the parliamentarians and peers also appreciate that the country has come to London. And why are we doing this? We're doing this because we are fed up with the substandard imports pouring into Britain, undercutting our great British food. We're also fed up with the fact that these substandard imports are actually being labelled as British food. If they're processed here or packaged here, imported food is allowed to have a British flag on it.
Hey guys, welcome back to Resistance Chicks. I'm one of your hosts, Michelle. I know what you're thinking. Yes! We get another Michelle show. I'm so excited. I can't hide it because Michelle's the best host and there's no denying it. Actually, Leah has a phenomenal show planned for you guys. I'm just getting you started. I'm getting you warmed up. I've opened up all her tabs. She's literally got another awesome jam-packed Leah show for you. You know, it reminds me of the VeggieTales. Have we got a show for you? You know, it's so good to be back. Huge shout out to Scott Kesterson, who helped co-host on Friday while Leah was taking care of Patriot Gallery. And another giant, huge shout out because yesterday was Patriot Gallery's birthday. And Isaiah 4110 in the chat, Sherry sent her the best present. We couldn't figure out what it was. There she is in the chat. Hi, Sherry. I was like, this is heavy. And it was in a small little container. And I jokingly said when I pulled it out, I said, it feels like a weighted blanket. Sure enough, it is. It's a weighted lap blanket. I've actually never seen one in person. I've only ever heard of them. And it's, you know, about yay long. It's about yay wide. And you put it on and it just makes you feel all cozy. So we all tried it and we had fun opening your present for Patriot Gallery. I'm hearing myself upstairs through the door. For Patriot Gallery yesterday on Patriot Gallery's birthday. So I don't know if anybody's watching or can shout out to shut the upstairs door so that I don't hear myself coming from Patriot Gallery's computer. But if not, that's okay. Leah will be joining us shortly. Sherry says, yay, I'm glad she likes it. It's a really cool present. And actually, Leah stole it. When I came downstairs this morning, it was on her. So I'm just saying, kind of funny. But it's one of those things that can be shared. You don't want it all the time, but when you want it, you want it. So super cool present there. So Patriot Gallery had a great birthday yesterday. And then we did a show with Scott Kesterson, the Gospel of Peace, on the total solar eclipse event that's coming up. And not just I don't mean the event that we're having, although of course, yes, you need to register and come to it. But I just mean the event of the century, right? The total solar eclipse that is going to take place April 8th. I'm telling you, something is big with this. It's really, really big. And we've been talking about it with you guys for 7 years. If you've been with us this long, when we went to the first one in 2017, we had our Resistance Chicks channel then. And it was just a life-changing event. We're like, man, 7 years. 7 years. And what has happened in between? Donald Trump's presidency, the first time, 2020, J5 plus one, I mean, so much has happened, and then 2020 and the COVID con and all of the things, like, oh my gosh, I can see how God would bookend all of that in a 7-year period. I definitely can see that. And what is he saying? And, you know, our friend Samantha, part of our healing ministry team, she said that she and Stacy, her mom, also part of our healing ministry team, have been getting a word from God, which also coincides with the word that Leah and I have been getting about how, because there's so much end times fervor surrounded around this event, I believe that right now is going to be the timing where a lot of that end times false indoctrination just breaks loose when what they all thought was going to happen doesn't actually happen, but repentance comes. I think it's going to shake things up. So they have a phenomenal word, and maybe we'll get them on the show sometime to really give it. But, you know, today Leah's going to talk about a couple of things, one of which is Princess Kate's cancer that she has. And, you know, I love our conspiracy theory community. You guys are great. And I don't just mean you, as I think you guys are pretty level-headed on the Resistance Chicks channel, if I may be biased enough to say that. But we're still members of a community where a lot of theories get thrown out there and they see which one sticks. And one of the theories is that Kate's already dead, or she doesn't have cancer, or there's a body double. And when you watch this video, all of that's ridiculous. I mean, she genuinely does. And so the question that I have is, you know, I kind of assumed that all of the elites were given a placebo and with the you-know-what. And it would look like Dr. Sherry Tenpenny has a post on her Instagram about turbo cancers. And so I don't know how much correlation I want to make while we're still live here on Facebook, but I think you guys are picking up what I'm throwing down. I'm just saying, if she's got some sort of turbo cancer of the stomach, that's not terribly normal for someone who is 42 years old. And so my thought goes to, well, why does she have it? And then, of course, you all know why I think she has it. And so that's why I'm making the correlation of, I thought that they all got the placebo, and it would appear, it looks like, I'm not stating it as fact because I don't know, it would appear that she didn't get a placebo, if you know what I'm saying. So that's very, very interesting. We still have chaos going on in Haiti. Oh my gosh. So Leah's going to bring, I think she even has video footage to bring you of that. And then the UK farmers are gearing up for a protest. And, you know, enough is enough. When you are told that you can't grow food, that you can't raise animals a certain way, and then also they bring in imported food, and then they label it as if it, and it with a British flag on it, as if it is from the UK, and it's not. I mean, that just throws all the UK farmers under the bus. So Leah's going to talk about that. Like I said, she's got like a million tabs up. So I could give you a little preview of all that, but I'm not going to. But what I am going to do, if you guys will be so patient with me, because this is really important. Okay, let me move this over here. I would love to see you at the total solar eclipse. Now, if you can't make it to the one that we're doing in Brookville, Ohio, you are closer to Texas, go to Rod Parker's event, because now we're talking about something that's so significant that I think it's going to shatter the world in some way. And gearing up and having a move of God and being a part of a revival and making connections in a community before that, I can't think of anything better. So I want you to go to bardsfest.com and register for the April 8th event. It is going to start on Sunday, the night before, at 5:00 with a prayer vigil and repentance and things like that. So make it a 2-day plan to come to Brookville, Ohio, or Kamado, I don't know how to say that, Texas, which is right there at Eagles Pass, which is so cool because that's right where the eclipse comes into the United States. Like, the confirmation of that is just mind-blowing, right? So go and register and come expecting something for yourself. Expect a move of God. And just like, you know, Scott was talking about, just fellowship alone and making that touch and that connection with people in Bard's Nation and the Resistance Chicks community, I think I can't imagine anything better. Now, no, I haven't seen anything about that. If you would like to be a vendor let me know, because we will have vendors. We don't have a whole lot of vendors signed up, and so we have room still for more to come. So if you are so inclined, send me an email, massfaith33@gmail.com, and we'll get you hooked up to be a vendor for that day. But we are going to have food, and bring your own chair. BYOC. Those are all the things we discussed last night. There we go. Boom. So here comes the lovely Leah. What's going on with your shirt? Looks a little funky.
No, I just fixed it. It was really funky earlier.
Okay.
I do have a tip. Don't ever try to put on two shirts at one time.
I had to fix it. What I mean is, you look so pretty.
You got to scoot. If I'm on your spot, all my links are going to be up over here.
Okay, so she's kicking me out. I have to go do dog visits anyway.
You can get on the other side. I just need to be there.
Okay. Oh, no, I'm just leaving.
Okay.
But I started out, it would have been nice to have it be the Michelle show, but we had several Michelle shows, although Scott was there, and he does interrupt. He interrupts. Everybody says Michelle interrupts. Scott interrupts.
No, he just does. He just gets on. The thing of it is, you got to interrupt him. That's what it is. He waits. He's very good patient. He
interrupted me last night, and I had proof because I'd said it right then and there.
Michelle, you're like 5 years old.
Yes, I am.
Oh, my gosh. They come for a professional show.
Michelle, they love me.
And Michelle, oh, I don't know if I want your earbuds. Ooh.
That's gross. That's why I hung mine up. I didn't hand them to you.
You did hand them to me, didn't you?
No, I didn't. I hung them up. Let's hang them up.
I'm going to get this chair out of the way.
Oh, boy. She's going to wreck the whole studio.
I know.
So studio. Your other mic is not turned on.
Studio is moving, by the way.
This is not turned on.
Okay.
But if you want it to be turned on, you can unmute it if you need it.
So Matt's dressed in sweatpants. He's ready. He's painting.
If Matt comes in, you'll have to unmute this mic.
Okay. All right. I hear myself. I hear myself in this ear. All right. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Wherever you're at around the globe. Are there people behind me? Is there anybody still in mourning? Not sadness, but I guess no. No, everybody should be past mourning time. Right. So everybody's in the evening. So there's no morning. Forget it. I don't know where I'm at. Yeah. What?
Mom told me that I can't leave you with the orange shirt like that.
What's wrong with my shirt?
It's uneven.
It's uneven. It's uneven.
She literally said,
how about
what's
we wait?
What's the orange shirt supposed to be doing? Those are the exact words from Mom.
How about you wait till I get a video going or something?
Okay.
This is the best show ever.
No.
How do we get... Okay, are these all my tabs?
Yeah.
Oh, did you go over anything while I was gone?
I talked about Princess Kate.
You talked about... Oh, jeez. Oh, my gosh. I was screeching or something. So, yeah, lots of things are going on around the world that we haven't really gone over.
I'm really not waiting. Okay. Because I don't have a screen set up so that's just...
What do you mean?
Just video. So you hide behind it.
You can't do that?
Well, I can, but I don't have it.
I'd rather do that.
How about you do a video and step to the side and fix it?
So I'm going to play for you guys just the top off the list here. The Princess of Wales, Princess Kate, has cancer. And she made a really kind of really moving video here. I thought I had it up. I'm going to get this. I'm going to play it for you. And then we're going to kind of discuss. I'm going to let you guys discuss what you think is going on here, or maybe not much. Maybe this is what it is. Maybe she just randomly got cancer. But I don't know, because this is a pretty bold move by the palace. They don't normally put out this level of transparency.
I wanted to take this opportunity to say thank you personally for all the wonderful messages of support and for your understanding whilst I've been recovering from surgery. It has been an incredibly tough couple of months for our entire family, but I've had a fantastic medical team who have taken great care of me, for which I'm so grateful. In January, I underwent major abdominal surgery in London, and at the time, it was thought that my condition was non-cancerous. The surgery was successful. However, tests after the operation found cancer had been present. My medical team therefore advised that I should undergo a course of preventative chemotherapy, and I'm now in the early stages of that treatment. This, of course, came as a huge shock, and William and I have been doing everything we can to process and manage this privately for the sake of our young family. As you can imagine, this has taken time. It has taken me time to recover from major surgery in order to start my treatment. But most importantly, it has taken us time to explain everything to George, Charlotte, and Louis in a way that's appropriate for them and to reassure them that I'm going to be okay. As I've said to them, I am well and getting stronger every day by focusing on the things that will help me heal in my mind, body, and spirit. Having William by my side is a great source of comfort and reassurance too, as is the love, support, and kindness that has been shown by so many of you. It means so much to us both. We hope that you'll understand that as a family, we now need some time, space, and privacy while I complete my treatment. My work has always brought me a deep sense of joy, and I look forward to being back when I'm able. But for now, I must focus on making a full recovery. At this time, I'm also thinking of all those whose lives have been affected by cancer. For everyone facing this disease, in whatever form, please do not lose faith or hope. You are not alone.
Wow. It's pretty powerful. And, you know, Michelle and Scott were talking about how some people think the elites got placebos. There's just a lot of stuff going on right now. And it's a very interesting and dangerous time to be alive. I'm just going to tell you guys. I don't know what is going around, but it's more than just COVID. It's something in the air. It's spiritual. Okay. Prince Charles went into the hospital, had major surgery. Princess Kate has had major surgery. Of course, there's a lot of support for her around the world, and she's going to have obviously more support than most people. She also, you know, says that she delayed her telling people because she wanted to kind of tell her kids first, because it's, you say the C word, people get pretty scared, right? But what I wanted to talk about was this timeline. This Breitbart article here, I'll go ahead and bring it up so you guys can, a lot of you like to read it along with me. Timeline of Annus Horribilis, year that saw both King Charles and future Queen Catherine diagnosed with cancer. The Princess of Wales, the wife of the heir apparent of the British throne, and might be sooner rather than later, and therefore a likely future queen, has revealed that she is being treated for cancer just 6 weeks after it was revealed that the king himself had been diagnosed. The phrase annus horribilis entered the vocabulary of Britons after it was used by the late Queen Elizabeth II to describe 1992, a year in which stories about the marriages of three of her children's marriages falling apart became public knowledge. And with the ancient and hugely important Windsor Castle was devastated by a fire 32 years later, it appears the British monarchy, which has just emerged from finding its feet again after the death of a very long-lived late queen, may be facing another such terrible year as health issues strike some of the most prominent members. The announcements that both King Charles III and future Queen Catherine are suffering from cancer has rocked the United Kingdom after months of speculation in lieu of fresh information on the health of the pair. While the princess appeared healthy and unimpacted, in her video statement, she doesn't look healthy to me. She looks very gaunt, very thin. I know that she obviously doesn't have a lot of makeup on in here, but she does look very sick. Even now, a few details have been released, including what form of cancer. She said she had told her children that she was getting stronger every day. How did we get here? From the princess's late public appearance in March through her hospital admissions, the king's cancer diagnosis, to today's sad news. So in December of 2023, the monarchy can come with a host of unusual traditions. And in the United Kingdom, one of them is that the royal family walking to church and back on Christmas Day is a bit of a spectacle and typically reported worldwide. Little did we know it, but Princess Catherine, looking in perfect health and guiding her young children home after service, was at that time was the last time she would be photographed in public for months. January 16, she's admitted to the hospital for a major abdominal surgery. Okay, we still don't know exactly what kind of surgery she's having. The 17th, the palace reveals King Charles will be treated for a benign enlarged prostate, as well as revealing Princess Kate has been admitted to hospital the previous day, January 17th. Also sees the palace announce King Charles III, who ascended the throne only 17 months before, after the death of his mother, late queen, was due to be admitted to the hospital, too, for a corrective procedure. Of course, it would later transpire the king's condition was actually cancerous. January 18th, they say Princess Kate is doing well after surgery. And then January 26th, the king is admitted to the hospital. February 5th, King Charles diagnosed with cancer. March 2nd, speculations about where she has gone. And then they put forth the picture and people mocked it because it looked like it was, there were some photo shots in photo ops. What do you call those? You know, messing with the picture. My brain's on fuzz right now on that brain fart. We do not know whether Kate has had discovered she had cancer yet at this point or whether the tests after the operation found the cancer. March 10th, a Mother's Day gesture gone wrong. And here we have the overly edited royal picture here. It was like a hand in the wrong place and things like that. And then the 20th, attempt to snoop on Catherine. Supposedly they found her out walking, trying to find, you know, at some sort of farmer's market. And then just on the 22nd, she published that short video. You can see her here with a fuller face. Obviously, she's sick. She's sick. What do you guys think? I'm on the Book of the Face, but I'm telling you, whatever they put out, whether it was the jab or the juice, or I think it was obviously the jab. I think it more so than anything else is causing people's bodies to attack themselves. She's so young to have that kind of cancer at young and healthy. You know, they normally are like, watch what you eat, blah, blah, blah. You won't get cancer. These people eat organic. They do all the things. You know, she's not popping in GMOs or anything. Her family doesn't seem to have any cancer in their history. Spike protein, guys. That, you know, and so it's kind of crazy. That's what I'm thinking. But that's speculation. And I think that we can speculate. We can talk about these things, especially when you have a virus that affects pretty much every person's system in the entire world. Why can't we talk about that? And then a cure or a preventative that has not been tested. We know that COVID in and of itself has your body attack itself. And we know that spiked protein has accelerated cancer risk. And we know that Pierre Corey just went on Tucker Carlson to talk about that. It's your cells reacting to the mRNA technology. It's not supposed to be in your body. It's not supposed to be there. And I hope that if something comes out of this, that this can be talked about and proven. I had a friend of mine who said that a lady she worked with, her mom, it was diagnosed that she had issues and it was a result of the jab. All right. So the other major news story this week, and Michelle and Scott covered this earlier. Moscow was hit by a terror attack. Supposedly, ISIS is taking responsibility. I am not convinced. I have a clip from Victoria Nuland from the American government, the CIA, I believe, saying that Russia was going to experience some unconventional warfare. We do know that Russia has said that those fighters had a escape route back into through Ukraine. You think about all the things that the Ukrainians have done. They've got $60 billion of weaponry and they want to have something to show for it. Well, they bombed the Nord Stream 2, blamed it on Russia, blew up the Crimean Bridge. There is Jack Posobiec has a really good clip with Steve Bannon, and I'll probably, if I play that, it's not going to be on Facebook. Talking about how the new general in charge of the Ukrainian army was trained by the CIA. You don't get to say Ukraine is fighting Russia when we sent $60 billion. We're fighting Russia. We've talked about this. All right. The Russian state media has underscored that partners and geopolitical rivals alike have joined the chorus expressing horror in the wake of the Kharkiv City Hall attack. And some of you have probably already seen the video. I'm not going to play this on my show because there's actual footage of people being shot. And I don't want to traumatize you guys. This is somewhat surprising, included a statement of solidarity from Washington. As the death toll has risen to 137 killed, the United States strongly condemns yesterday's deadly terror attack in Moscow. Interesting. We condemn terrorism in all its forms and stand in solidarity with the people of Russia in grieving the loss and life of this horrific event. Even NATO issued a statement of condolence, with NATO spokesperson Farah Dakhanhala saying on X that the Western Military Alliance unequivocally condemned the attacks targeting concertgoers in Moscow. Our deepest condolences to the victims and their families, she said, adding that nothing can justify such heinous crimes. Pope Francis, too, has offered special prayers for victims on Sunday. But still, Western officials hit back on President Putin's attempts to link the terror attack, which ISIS-K has reportedly taken responsibility for, to Ukraine. Both the president and Kremlin officials have alleged the gunmen were trying to escape through the Ukraine territory.
Investigators surveying the smoldering wreckage of the aftermath of the weekend massacre near Moscow. On Friday night, armed men in combat fatigues burst into the Kharkiv City Hall, a popular concert venue, and methodically began shooting the audience before setting the place ablaze. Videos posted on social media show people screaming and ducking for cover as the gunmen fired round after round of automatic gunfire. Someone's shooting here, this man says. The hall is burning. They've set us on fire. Outside, the building was engulfed in flames. Inside, concertgoers tried to escape the relentless gunfire, trapped in a crush of panicked people. Another video shows assailants moving with deadly intent through the complex as they gun people down. The full extent of the horror quickly made clear by a growing line of body bags. The attack comes after the U.S. shared intelligence with Russia, warning that ISIS was planning to strike and advising its citizens to stay away from concert venues. But this week, after a questionable landslide election victory, President Vladimir Putin dismissed the U.S. warning as outright blackmail. In a televised address on Saturday after the carnage, Putin told a shocked nation that 11 people had already been arrested in connection with the brazen attack, including 4 gunmen. And despite the fact that ISIS has claimed responsibility, he used the opportunity to bolster support for his war in Ukraine, now entering its third year. The assailants were moving in the direction of Ukraine, Putin claimed, where they had a Russian border crossing prepared from the Ukrainian side. It's a charge Ukraine flatly denies, and the U.S. has categorically repudiated.
Oh, wow. Well, how does the U.S. know, right? Wild confession by the captured Moscow attacker. He claimed he had done it for money.
When did you arrive from Turkey? What did you do in Turkey? My documents expired, so I crossed the border. Once again, your full name. You're a third, 1998. What did you do in Krakus yesterday? What did you do in Krakus? I was shooting. You were shooting? You were shooting who? Why? For money. Money? Let's put him up. For how much money? Some 500 500,000 of what? Of rubles. Did you get it from who? I have received only one half. It was transferred to my card. Where's your card? He gave it and it was in my clothes, in my jacket, so I lost it. Where did you get weapons?
This doesn't sound like an ISIS fighter. This is not an Islamic stater who usually go down with the fight, right? That is not. Glenn Greenwald, I have no idea who perpetrated that horrific attack in Moscow, but note how immediately, mindlessly, and unquestioningly most of the U.S. corporate media treats the evidence-free pronouncements of the U.S. government as gospel truth. In a statement released Sunday, the Russian Investigative Committee detailed the four sets of combat ammunition with more than 500 bullets and 28 magazines. The official ISIS outlet Al Amaq releases the video recorded by the terror bus from the Moscow attack. Meanwhile, the Russian government has continued to question what intelligence concerning the planned attack that Washington may have had ahead of time. In a March 7th emergency alert, the U.S. Embassy in Moscow said it was monitoring the reports that extremists have imminent plans to target large gatherings in Moscow to include concerts. How did the U.S. know on March 7th that terrorists were going to attack concerts? And we're not going to play any of those. All right, so I've got some video here. This is 12 Medals of Bravery awarded the fighters who captured the Moscow terrorists. And then I have a video of people. Putting flowers there. Like I said, guys, things are ramping up. Scott and made a point about how this a lot of this is a distraction. A lot of things happening around the world today. And is this a distraction? It surely seems like it could be, and it might be. The European Union bows to farmers, imposes restrictions on some Ukrainian agriculture. What was happening is they were preferring Ukrainian grain and agricultural products and causing other European farmers to suffer as a result of the costs they're not getting paid for their products. So in response to heavy pressure from farmers across Europe, the EU announced on Wednesday that it would be adding several staple foods to its list of Ukrainian agricultural products with emergency breaks to prevent the country from flooding markets in Europe with cheap produce and undercutting local farmers. The European Parliament said on Wednesday that it had agreed to extend the temporary suspension of tariffs and other restrictions on Ukrainian agricultural exports to the EU for another year, until at least January 5th, 2025, to help prop up the economy of the war-torn country. However, farmers throughout Europe have complained that they are being unfairly undercut by cheaply produced products from Ukraine, which not produce under the same restrictive and expensive environmental regulations and as a much cheaper workforce. Following the months of tractor protests, we've seen those from farmers throughout Europe, notably the blockades at the Ukraine border with Poland. The EU said that it would be adding oats, maize, groats, and honey to its emergency break list, meaning that it can halt imports swiftly if they exceed the average set in 2022 and 2023. The list had previously only included such items as eggs, poultry, and sugar. So the attention of the grains to the list is of a significant move. These are, you know, kind of, it seems you and I might not think much of it, but if you've got a bunch of grain that you've produced, but now that you can't sell it throughout Europe because the stuff coming from Ukraine produced much cheaper is flooding the market, and then you can't sell yours, and you can't survive. And that's just one thing that Brussels had done to try to harm farmers, obviously, with the green agenda being the number one thing. And then the Wales farmers, their big thing was that in Wales, they want to land grab 20% of every farm, 20% of every farm, which is absolutely crazy, right? Absolutely insane. And they're fighting back. So good for them, right? In all the world, in all the craziness, I know this may not be a world news story just yet, and I'm going to cover some from Brazil today. Fix the money, fix the world. The insanity in our world is driven by money printing. This out of Zero Hedge today. A screen share so you guys can see what I'm seeing. This chart has been making the rounds on Twitter this week, and I think it's a good image to send you freaks into the weekend with. And so we're here we are on the weekend. What do you guys think about this? So I want you guys to see here the total net worth held by the bottom 50%, okay? So the first to the 50th wealth percentage to the left. And then in the red, you've got the net worth held by the top 0.1%, the 99.9% to the 100th percent wealth percentile on the left. And then you've got the mean right there on the left. So when you look at 1990, everybody was pretty average. And I want you to see the bottom line here is the net worth held by 50%, first to 50%. And then I want you to see the red line. The red line. Look at that, billions of dollars. Nobody had, very few people were billionaires. There were no billionaires in the 90s, just millionaires, right? This is where we're at, okay? They're printing tons of money. It's easy to get swept up in the chaos of the day-to-day vitality that exists in our world. Recently, our minds have been inundated with headlines about illegal immigration, squatters, and the degradation of private property rights. War across the world, small battles with the larger culture war, increasing prices, and the decisions made by central banks around the world. In the midst of all this chaos, it's important to take a step back and remind yourself what lies at the core of most of these issues. The fact that we've completely broken money. When you break money, the most important tool humans use to facilitate economic activity, a ripple effect of negative consequences begins to emanate from the root of the world's engine. Those ripples create the momentum that leads to the chaos that we are witnessing today. Broken money leads people to store their value in suboptimal vehicles like housing. This drives the cost of real estate up unnaturally and increases the gap between the haves and the have-nots. I tell you guys this all the time. Houses that should sell for about $200,000 are selling for $300,000 or $350,000. I've got a house that should sell for maybe $300,000. It went for $900,000 across the street from me. Don't live in one of those neighborhoods, guys. Sowing seeds of animosity, seeds that even when left to germinate and grow via the further degradation of money people use, blossom into ugly flowers. Anarcho-tyranny. This is manifest in the trend people claiming others' houses by squatting them. Have you seen that? People just, I'm just going to squat here. You can't kick me out. When they are left unattended for extended periods of time, the preferential treatment that has been given to these squatters over homeowners in recent years can be seen as the regime which controls the money printers throwing the plebs a bone. The excess and decadence enabled by a world run on broken, easy money allows people to live in a detached reality that leads them to push objectively false narratives. This is what they are, why there are running debates about gender and a retreat from merit-based compensation. All of the stems of money are broken. The chart above should show as a reminder to all of us that the biggest problem in the world right now is the money. And that's what my mom hammers. And yesterday was her birthday, and I'm still celebrating her birthday. She's having a little bit of a hard time today. So pray for her, please. Her stomach and digestion issues today, a little bit off. And we're praying for healing for you guys, too. But this is what the Lord keeps hammering my mom over and over and over again. Worldwide, it's the money. The money's broken. The money's broken. The money's broken. So when you hear her say gold and silver over and over again and talk about silver dimes, it's not that she's just immediately going to the solution, to the problem. We could hammer the problem. We could talk about the problem. But until we get to the solution, what are we doing? So I tell people, if you have under $2,000, $3,000, go to SD Bullion, find yourself some silver. Find yourself some silver. I love SD Bullion. They are a Christian company. They send scriptures. We get no kickback from them. We just use their company. We are not wealthy people. We are silver people. If you can, and if you have any sort of savings, any sort of IRA, I'm telling you guys, the money's broken. Get into gold and silver. Buy a farm. Get some land. Get some animals. You have to do this. You have to do this because it is the system. It is the broken money. I don't know. Michelle put the ITM trading thing in here. So just visit ITM trading. I don't have the number memorized, but please visit it, guys, and get yourselves out of this system. Because I'm telling you, whether it's Ukraine, there's no $60 billion to Ukraine without a broken money system. The terror attack that just happened in Moscow. It doesn't happen without a broken money system. It doesn't happen. Leah, well, what about World War II? There was a broken money system. What about World War I? Well, go back and watch our show on, I believe it was the Carnegies, Rockefellers, and Fords, where we talked about, which one was it? We talked about how World War I would not have happened if those countries had not left their gold standard. It wouldn't have happened. They only financed all of their war machinery with fake money, broken money. You go right back to World War I. That's when it happened. That's when the chaos happened. That's when the death happened. That's when the whole world went berserko. The whole world. The whole world. So now that we know what the problem is, we can talk about some more problems. Just kidding. Just kidding. We don't want to talk about more problems, do we?
And then
let's bring in Neil Oliver. He had a really great monologue this week. So I'm going to bring him in. And then he does another video explaining his monologue. All right. Here's our buddy. Haven't seen you in a while. How you doing, Neil?
That children are our most precious resource and treasure. We sing songs about it. I believe that children are our future and all that jazz. Let's have a look at the recent reality of life and death of children around the world, shall we? According to the Gaza Health Ministry, more than 12,300 children have been killed in that open-air prison since October last year. The children of the generation that went through the fires of hell and said never again are witnessing 21st century children consumed by other flames. Plausible genocide, the International Court of Justice calls it. If taken at face value, it would mean more children died in Gaza between October last year and February this year than the combined number of all that died in all conflicts around the world in the 4 years from 2019 to 2022. For those who dismiss numbers presented by the Gaza Health Ministry as unreliable, even fictional, the Save the Children charity estimates the total of dead children in Gaza in the 100 days from October to the end of January, that's already 6 weeks out of date, at 10,000. Whichever figures you believe, it seems reasonable to accept we're confronted by a lot of dead children and babies piling up in the few square miles of Gaza. There's all manner of footage, again, much of it roundly dismissed as fake in some way, of little corpses pulled from piles of rubble and wrapped in brightly coloured blankets for transport to God knows where. Maybe God does know. Hopefully God cares as well, because evidently not enough of the right people do. Not enough to make it stop. Children are our future, we sing. So what about all those children with no futures at all? Last month, UNICEF estimated at least 17,000 Gazan children had been orphaned by that war, or at least separated from all family and therefore left alone. 17,000 stories of heartbreak and grief. In a separate report for UNICEF, the plight of the children of Ukraine was laid bare. 2 years of chaos, destruction and loss, separation from families, disrupted schooling, disrupted healthcare, reports of a mental health crisis and a learning crisis. Many children have fled the chaos alone, exposing them to abuse of every kind. Human trafficking on an industrial scale, children robbed of childhood, scars visible and invisible. Human traffickers, child traffickers, dark tales abound of more of the same, harvesting a bumper crop of orphans in Gaza too. It seems to me that present evidence makes plain that far from irreplaceable treasures, too many children are treated as disposable. Closer to home, we have altogether different damage to contemplate. All parents hear and share anecdotal evidence of harms caused to children during the COVID years. In lockdown, the response to the neighbourly question, "How are you all doing?" was met first with a cheery, "Fine." Time spent digging deeper, however, invariably revealed struggles, anxieties, real concerns about youngsters. We must now conclude that as a society, we will be dealing with the poisonous consequences of lockdown for years to come, if not forever. A consensus on the number of so-called ghost children, those who fell off the radar of schools and social services during the COVID debacle and haven't been heard of since, is hard to come by, but tens of thousands is certain, and the think tank Centre for Social Justice says 100,000. The CSJ tries to keep a spotlight on the poorest and most disadvantaged in society, and as early as 2021 they were warning, quote, COVID-19 has wreaked havoc in our schools. Young people's life chances have been laid waste by successive school shutdowns and interruptions to their learning. The damage caused by lockdowns could not be clearer than in the case of school attendance. The pandemic has given rise to a generation of ghost children. If we're not careful, we're creating an Oliver Twist generation of children exposed to significant safeguarding hazards. End quote. Over the years here at GB News, I've spoken specifically about children. My primary motivation for speaking out at all, in any context, from the beginning, 3 or 4 years ago, was as a parent, fearing for my own children, what lockdown and the rest of the madness would do to them, how it would affect their futures by fundamentally altering the fabric of society. When it came to the products pushed as vaccines, my number one focus was on making sure no needle touched any of my children. And so, from time to time on a Saturday night, I made children the focus of what I was talking about, including asking questions about harms caused to so many by the malignancy of the lockdown policies that kept families apart, closed schools, delayed learning to speak, compromised normal emotional and psychological development, delayed the learning of social skills, left unknowable numbers isolated in dangerous domestic circumstances. But the truth is that the viewing figures for those monologues were always conspicuously lower than those on other subjects. Maybe when it comes to children, too many people just don't want to know, just don't want to think about it. But here we are in 2024 and a world made different. All parents know that if their children were hooked on phones and the rest of the tech before lockdown, that time of enforced isolation only cranked up the addiction. We all hear the stories about spikes in the number of children self-harming with eating disorders, simply struggling with day-to-day life. Referrals for children needing mental health treatment spiked along with the rest. Last year it was reported that 1 in 5 primary and secondary age children are behind in their speech skills, their understanding of words. Charity Speech and Language UK said it was the highest number of children with speech and language challenges ever recorded. 80% of teachers said children in their classrooms were lagging behind. This is fundamental. Condemning generations to underachievement, to isolation from society on account of not understanding, not being able to make themselves understood. During a recent parliamentary debate on excess deaths, Conservative MP Dr. Caroline Johnson, a consultant paediatrician as well as an MP, reported that up to March 2023 there was an 8% increase in child deaths compared to the year before. She went on to say suicide and self-harm was the main cause of death for children between the ages of 10 and 17, quote, getting much worse in the 10 to 14 age group. Stop for a moment to take that in. Of course, the vast majority of MPs won't discuss excess deaths, full stop, staying away in droves from any debates on the subject. Which brings me to the subject of accountability. We can see where we are now, surrounded by children struggling, falling behind, falling through cracks in the floorboards, dying in greater numbers than before, self-harming, killing themselves. All of this has happened on our watch in a time made utterly different by official policies, with which MPs of all stripes remained in lockstep, almost without exception, giving their full-throated support. Safe and effective, that worst of all mantras was a death sentence for uncounted numbers. Worst of all, it was never based on data of any sort, just baseless, preordained propaganda from the start. Save our NHS, 3 weeks to flatten the curve, no jab, no job, we're yet...
So we kind of get it. We understand. I got another one where he is a little bit less monologue-y and just kind of shooting from the hip here.
Doing this again? Oh, yeah. And it came from fear for my children, our children, Trudy's and mine. That's really it. That's all it's about to this day. It started with what was happening in lockdown all those years ago, and then it was about the increasingly forceful marketing of the jabs. But it's never stopped, and with every passing day, it seems like our rights and freedoms as individuals are revealed as counting for less and less in the eyes of the powerful. That's blatant now. And those elected to represent our interests don't represent our interests, and instead they represent the interests of their corporate and ideological masters. Those people that we see in front of the cameras standing up in the House of Commons are impotent, they're gelded, they're empty vessels who spout whatever they're told to spout. You know, their opinions are for sale to the highest bidder. And you know, one way or another, the buck of it all must stop at our children. You know, it's happening to us, you, me, and the rest of the so-called adults. But if this crystallizes into something solid, as it's promising to do, it will be our children who inherit all of this. I look at the potential future made of climate lockdowns, lockdowns on bogus manufactured health grounds. I look at the advent of social credit systems driven by technology like digital IDs and central bank digital currencies, taking away any meaningful control of money. I think about 15-minute ghettos, censorship, the general attack on freedom of speech and every other freedom. You don't really need to compartmentalise freedom. Freedom is freedom. It's all or nothing. We're either free or we're not.
So I want to give you guys some good news. Go and watch my little rant. Don't watch it. Just listen to it because you thought this outfit today was messed up. I'm not cared about what I look like. So sorry. Forgive me. I know how to put on makeup. That's about it right now. I actually have a pair of jeans on right now and not sweatpants. And you can't even see them. Like, I actually wore pants today. I can't even get my leg up to show you I'm actually wearing decent pants. Oh, my word. Okay. You never know what you're going to get in the show. So this morning, I did a little rant on Facebook against pastors who have kind of let us down. And I hit Abigail and Leah and Alexander and the girls in our, I have a little group text with them, the teenagers. They sent me some pictures of some teenagers praising God and doing worship. And I said, that's great. It's awesome. I want it. I want you guys to be in the presence of God. I want these young people to be in the presence of God. But the fruit, because I had that same thing. I had people in the 90s and the early 2000s. We were in the presence of God. We were praising God. We did all the stuff. We did the IHOP. And the fruit was not good. Like, I'm still here, barely. But it's the freedom lovers that are doing the fight right now. And I gave him a bunch of words on how God's judgment is coming and how we've been righteous and holy. And I want to read you their responses to give you an encouragement for this generation. Abigail says, Leah, I just read this out loud with my dad on the way to church, and he's shouting, yes, yes, yes. I felt this exact way towards the worship industry with Mike Bickle. That's the IHOP. That's here in America. I know we're doing world news, but I want to show you that young people, we're going to be okay. Mike Bickle's failing to lead the flock and misconceptions of true leadership that led to this false ideology of true worship towards the Lord covered by outward, yet I couldn't pinpoint the words and the exact root of what was the true problem. And you have just targeted the exact route and destination to which the answers and missions are to be centered towards. Something profound happened this morning, and it is so key to literally everything you just sent over. I asked the Lord where I should read this morning. He said, Ezekiel. I read the false abominations and the secret hidden sins, and the people of Israel demonically indulged in. From Balak to slithering snakes and filth, to the highest mountain and lowest valley, Israel had no refrain from indulgence, and they did not hold back. And I read onward. God says, no more will I relent. My justice and judgment is going forth, and my people can no longer hide. For my spirit is within the wheels to bring and the justice and judgment needed to the world. And then I get in the presence more and more. And the Lord led me to go over to my piano and just begin writing and writing. I wrote about 15 poems about the judgments, righteousness, and vindication of the Lord. Without even breathing, it just flowed word after word. And I have to share with you guys, I hate worship services where I know behind the scenes the pastors are indulging in sin. Then they walk up to their pedestals and try and tell people what's right and wrong and what way we should live out our lives. And then people of God go away hungry, yet their hunger, they fill it with filth, stench, adultery, abomination, looking towards the stench of the enemy. The pride, the evil, and the adultery can no longer hide, for he's bringing forth a day when the sun can no longer creep and hide in the shadows. Leah Faith, I literally can't express how much these unveilings of truth gives my heart a greater longing for the righteousness of God. And I simply, with less experience in this age and years of seeing the world around me, don't have the amount of keen knowledge and discernment as you do. She's 16. It's like a very tiny bit of life lived. And as you do, and you hear this from someone who's seen and walked through the fires of my past generation is absolutely precious to me. My dad cheering everything on, and he wishes every believer could see the reality of this sin that is staining this decades of society into the rabbit hole of destruction and death. This vindication brings me such hope that we will see the face of God, which isn't just this lovey-dovey, he's the lamb, yet he's also the lion. And the idea that he's also compassionate and merciful is a conception that leads to failings and places a block in the vision of those entering into the presence of God. And there's more. And she's like, we have to debunk the lie. So then Leah goes on to say, Leah Faith, that seriously put the perfect words into picture. Our generation is screaming for real connection and cries out for someone to help them. While our pastors and parents stand down and accept the pornography rates, the drug, the homosexuality, the devil is scared of a generation that is fully for the Lord. These evil ways are trying to take down our generation because the Lord calls us to fight, not to have the cleanest armor and perfect sword, but to take a stance and to get into the war because ignoring it doesn't make a difference. As an example, if you have a cut on your leg and instead of treating that cut from the beginning, you ignore it until your entire body is infected and you can no longer ignore it anymore. Now the time it will take to restore your body is most likely more than doubled. When we ignore the infectious plans of the enemy and do not take a stance from the beginning, it spreads, becoming the biggest Instagram trend and an assembly in school. Now we are called to put an end to this spread, to heal and deliver those who need it. The Lord's judgment is coming, and it is strong. Leah Faith, that fact that 7 years ago the Lord spoke to you and watched my video, Sunday, Russia, nuclear. Sunday, the solar eclipse, is so prevalent right now. We are literally going into a solar eclipse, a day where there is literally no sun and it isn't light. There is a significance behind it that 7 years ago many did not understand. There was another solar eclipse, total solar eclipse, we saw in 2017. Now, in those 7 years, and the Lord spoke to us, there was a seven-year period of time of repentance for people. We saw people coming to the Lord, getting saved and repenting, and a lot of people waking up of the real things that matter, Now, we are at a time where the Lord is bringing his judgment upon the people. Those who are with the Lord are going to be protected by his guiding hand every step of the way. This means so much in the confirmation of Michelle's prophecy over our group now becoming fruition. They got that little group. That this generation is not weak and will not stand down to the enemy. The wisdom class has knowledge that will bring us to a point of the battlefield. Then we must push forward and fight the hard fight. It is a battle and will not be simple and easy, but the Lord will prevail. I'm declaring and speaking these words, and we will be equipped and prepared for these battles. What Neil Oliver was talking about is a generation that has been broken, a generation that has been abused, a generation that has been confused. They're stuck on phones. They're stuck on pornography. And I just read to you that same generation that's getting ready to stand up and fight and is standing up and fight. There are two forces. There is good and there is evil. There is light and there is dark. And there is good and there is bad. There is God and there is Satan. There's no in between. And what we're seeing with the lockdowns and the jab and all these different things, that's Team S, Satan. And we got the Team G over here for Team God. And you're going to have to choose, and you choose a side. And when you choose the side, you stay on that side. You don't go to the other side, because when you go to the other side, you will be slaughtered. Come over to God's side. And so many people are, and they're waking up and they're trying to find, who is this Jesus? It's not this Jesus in the churches. Some churches, most churches. There's some good ones. Neil Peterson, he's got a good one, right? Our friends, Brian and Andrea. So as we talk about what's happening to the kids, as we talk about, as Neil's is decrying what is happening to the children. There's a generation and it's rising, and they're righteous and they're holy, and they have to be, because you can't be lukewarm in the face of school assemblies telling 8-year-olds that it's cool to be gay. Like my friend's Sam's son, whose school assembly got the kids together and played a montage of gay people in Hollywood. And basically, the 10-year-old left the assembly with the thought that they were saying, these people are gay and you should be too. You have encouraging speakers come talk to your kids because you want them to be like those speakers. You want them to be motivated. They're called motivational speakers. So if you have a homosexual speaker, you're motivating them to become homosexual. Transgender. Leave all morals aside. And this generation has to fight, and they are fighting, and I wanted to encourage you. And there's another generation that's fighting. So next week, farmers gear up in the UK for next week's protest outside of Parliament. Farmers will protest outside of Parliament next week due to concerns over lower quality food imports and the lack of measures to boost British food security. Organized by campaign groups Fairness for Farmers and Save British Farming, farmers are being encouraged to take part in the tractor rally on Monday. Oh, tomorrow. Tomorrow. The protest surrounds three key demands: a ban on substandard food imports, a ban on dishonest labeling, and more measures to boost British food security. It will start at New Convent Market at 5:30 p.m. on Monday, March 25th, where tractors will set off to Parliament Square in Westminster. See.
Next Monday, the 25th of March, Save British Farming is partnering with Fairness of Farmers from Kent. Hey. London is going to have a real treat of a spectacle of a tractor rally.
Make sure you watch the end of this video to see contributions from some of the other farmers who will be attending on Monday.
Loads of farmers from across Britain are going to descend on London. We're meeting at New Covent Garden Market from about 2 o'clock. And at 5:30, we will set off for Parliament Square and go at Whitehall and spin around a few times, no doubt, to ensure that the public feel our presence and that the parliamentarians and peers also appreciate that the country has come to London. And why are we doing this? We're doing this because we are fed up with the substandard imports pouring into Britain, undercutting our great British food. We're also fed up with the fact that these substandard imports are actually being labelled as British food. If they're processed here or packaged here, imported food is allowed to have a British flag on it, and we believe that that is dishonest, and we want that to end. And we're also calling on the government to act to save our food security. We need a food plan to save food security. We'll be driving up to Parliament Square and up through Whitehall, and hopefully entertaining London with our tractors. The real betrayal about farming and food is that when the Conservatives were elected in 2019, they pledged in their manifesto to uphold our high British standards. And they have totally betrayed this pledge. Right now, we have lots of food in Britain, which is actually illegal to produce the food here to the standards that this imported food is coming in.
What?
And so it means that,
come on,
this food is cheaper. Of course it's,
yeah, it's cheaper
because they're using methods which are illegal here, and we can't compete because we're tied to high standards.
Come on.
And it means that when you're in the middle of a cost of living crisis, it means that imported food has got the advantage, price advantage, of British food.
Yeah.
And not only that, we've also got a government which is incentivising farmers to go into environmental schemes and take land out of production. So they're almost encouraging you to buy these substandard imports, which are bad for your health. They are also appalling in terms of animal welfare. We've been used in this country to having very high standards.
Yes, you do.
And the consumer has had a lot of power and control to make demands on the government. And once British food is gone, you will no longer have any control or say over how this food is produced, because it will come in from another country and there will be no alternative for you unless you pay a fortune for the premium quality food, which is going to be quite a niche and small market if British farming is allowed to continue to contract as it is right now. And we believe in food equality. Us, the farmers, the British farmers, we want to feed the British people. But if we continue as we are now, we're not able to security. And that is why we are taking our tractors.
On the 25th of March, I will be heading to London to campaign to the government for fairness to farmers. We want better food security, honest labelling, and to stop substandard imports. Come and join us and show the government what a committed, combined community the farmers are in this country.
Contractor in East Kent. I will be joining other farmers across Kent on the 25th of March, going directly to London on the rally with our three key main points: to ban substandard imports, to make food labelling honest, and also to save UK food security. I urge that all farmers across Kent join us in what we can say is going to be one big rally to make our voice heard as one to the government. So please come along on the 25th and join us in London at Parliament Square.
David Katz, market gardener and wholesaler near Maidstone. I'm joining the rally on the 25th of March.
I'm getting a fight with you.
Support fairness for farmers so that we can stop the substandard imports that are coming in. We can make labelling fairer so that only UK products are marked up as UK or British produce, and to support and strengthen the UK food security. Come and join us on the 25th.
All right. Tomorrow. I love you tomorrow. You're only a day away. All right. So Barry tells me the farmers aren't even allowed to have live transportation to the continent. Our farm animals are majority fed on grass or outside in daylight hours. Come on! Four Nations is a huge step forward. Barry says it's going to be Scotland, England, Wales, and maybe even Northern Ireland. Chris says, I'm praying for the farmers too. It's so encouraging to see men taking peaceful and rightful stands for food and freedom. Barry, I need to check the post office. I do. Hopefully it'll be here. Okay, Hilton, come on, put it in English. What does Baza mean, by the way? Okay, glorious up in Snowdonia. Hilton makes these really cool videos. My mom just watches him. He just likes these little videos where he takes his little dog up. Just peaceful, really wonderful videos, just fun. And then I have to do the news and it stinks. Just kidding. Okay. Conservative wipeout. Farage's reform snaps at heels of governing Tories in best yet poll. Labor soars above. Oh my word. How do you go from an 80 plus seat majority conservative to Labor taking over? Well, when they can't tell you apart, they just switch. That's what they do in England. It's kind of funny to watch. The national elections loom in the UK and the governing Conservatives continue to sink like the Titanic in new historic lows while the Nigel Farage-funded Reform Party creep ever upwards. Founded. Heading for a party with the historic party of government. British pollster YouGov, funded by former Conservative Cabinet Minister Zahawi has published figures for Westminster general election voting intentions, finding that while the commanding position of the left-wing Labour Party itself remains basically unchanged, their lead continues to open as the governing Conservative Party proceeds its nosedive. Let's see if I can share this with y'all. You guys, so you can see these things. Lowest Conservative percentage vote since Sunak became, highest for Reform. Reform's at 16%, Conservative at 24%, Labour's at 48%. Labour's just hanging out, 48%. You got the Lib Dems, so Reform is chipping away Conservative. You guys can just bust that over, right? Let's see it happen. Let's see it happen, right? It'd be awesome. I'm going to sneeze again. Oh, Lord, have mercy on my soul. I sneezed down here. I don't know what's going on down here. It's weird. Like every show, I sneeze twice. Crazy, right? I don't know. We're moving our studio. It's moving upstairs, getting some sunlight. It's going to be awesome. Okay. Nike is blasted. I'll bring you guys up in a screen share. I'll come back over here. Is this back in the UK? Blasted for a woke makeover of St. George's Cross on England's national soccer team jersey. Oh, my word. I think you call it football. Nike is facing a backlash for a woke redesign of the UK's St. George's Cross on the 2024 jerseys of the country's national soccer team. The national symbol, normally red and white, has been refashioned into red, black, purple, or pink and blue. What? The new colors have infuriated many who feel that Nike is instituting a woke nod to the LGBT. The playful update to the St. George appears on the collar to unite and inspire, the company claimed. Oh. Oh, my. Oh, no. No. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. St. George's is a Red Cross. That's the cross. You don't get, no, you don't LGBT cross the St. George's cross. It's an absolute joke. It's a multicolored cross. It bears no relationship to the cross of St. George whatsoever. If the England football team thinks that's acceptable, why? Why on earth? Why on earth would you be apologetic for your Englishness if you're going to play for England in the European football finals? Oh my goodness. It's all the same thing. Oh my gosh, it seems like it's always the same thing. So there's a thing called Ramadan. Muslims celebrate it. They have to fast all day. So King's Cross Station, King's Cross, like as in the Christian cross, put down these messages from Muhammad during the day, right there for you to read. On the big screen. There it is. Day 9. Hadith of the day. The Prophet Muhammad. All sons of Adam are sinners, but the best of the sinners are those who repent often. So they put that at the station. Oh my gosh. They had to apologize. Aren't we supposed to be a Christian country? Said Nigel Farage. So they decided they're not going to. They wouldn't put up stuff for like Christ and Christmas, but they put stuff up for. If it had been Psalm 139 put up there, Sadiq Khan would immediately start gobbling like a turkey about racism and white supremacy, said Lawrence Fox. Here we go again to the crazy world of craziness. I don't know. Some things are just so weird. I just don't know. All right, this isn't weird. This is sad. I don't know if you guys are ready for this one. We're going to talk about Haiti for a little bit. We talked about it last week. Haiti has been overrun by gangs. In effect, there is no government. There has been no government in Haiti. Tucker Carlson interviewed the ousted prime minister who had to flee. I'm going to give you guys an update of what's going on. Jeez. It's just not. It's just pray for Haiti, guys.
Once again, bullets whizzing through the streets of Port-au-Prince as the National Police Force struggles to release Haiti's capital city from the grip of gangs. Bodies left where they fell, next to gas pumps and collapsed wooded platforms. In between the burst of gunfire, people desperately search for their next meal. Sky News' Stuart Ramsey is in Port-au-Prince.
Well, I'm in Port-au-Prince, the capital of Haiti. The people here have no idea when gang violence is going to flare, and the whole of the city has been beset with it for days and days now. So much so that people are now building barricades to try and stop the gangs getting through.
Many Haitians now face an unbearable choice: venture outside and risk being shot, or stay inside and go hungry. Roughly 1.4 million Haitians are on the verge of famine, according to the UN, and more than 4 million need food.
Haitians who have temporarily been allowed to cross into the Dominican Republic are coming to this market to sell, oftentimes, what little belongings they have to get food, things like eggs, so they can then take it back to their families who are still waiting on the other side in Haiti.
Samuel is 18. He tells us he lives in Haiti but comes here to work and take food back to his family. Many innocent people are dying, he says. We do not want violence. We want a free country.
The UN says more than 33,000 Haitians have fled Port-au-Prince in the last 3.5 weeks. The humanitarian crisis and the violence is only getting worse. Lester.
Thanks for watching.
It's bad. And I would say, you know, America has had a lot to play in that, and witchcraft. And we need the world to step up and to come together and recognize that when large governments begin to play favoritism with the world and pick winners and losers, it's a spiritual battle, and I'd say it's definitely a spiritual battle. Pentagon will still open to allowing U.S. boots on the ground in Haiti. A senior U.S. That's like saying, hey, you broke it, can you fix it? A senior U.S. military official said the Pentagon has not yet ruled out an American deployment in Haiti, which has seen a spike in violent unrest that prompted the resignation of the country's prime minister last week. Speaking during an event hosted by the Atlantic Council on Tuesday, U.S. Southern Command Head General Laura Richardson was asked whether she envisions boots on the ground in the Caribbean nation. She said, not right now. Haiti remains as the mother of all failed states. Got a video here. Americans are gradually being evacuated via helicopter to the neighboring Dominican Republic.
More neighborhoods in Port-au-Prince are falling under the gang's reign of terror. Gunmen roam freely, killing, kidnapping, and looting as they go. They shot him dead, this man says, and then they burned his body. The chaos compounded by armed vigilantes around the capital fighting back to protect their neighborhoods. Thousands are desperate to flee, trying to get out any way they can. Today, a U.S. government-chartered helicopter again braved the dangerous conditions, flying citizens stuck in Port-au-Prince to the neighboring Dominican Republic. Nearly 1,600 passport holders have registered for help, but only roughly 30 a day can be rescued this way, as long as it's safe.
And here they come. Officials on the ground tell us it's a group of more than a dozen U.S. citizens who were able to board that helicopter in Port-au-Prince, and they've arrived here in Santo Domingo just before 1 p.m. From here, they will be processed through customs, and then they have the option of remaining in this country or trying to get a commercial flight to the United States.
They had this guy yesterday. They burned in a motorcycle.
Katiana Keisha Remador, wristband identifying her as an American, is trying to make her way home to her two children in Orlando. Her husband, who is not a U.S. citizen, had to stay behind.
I have one of my cousins. The gun just went to the house and asked her to leave the house.
They just kicked her out of the house, yes. Like that.
And they just take everything.
This afternoon, another charter flight from Cap Haitian arrived in Miami, carrying 60 U.S. citizens.
It was very scary. There's not a lot of food.
A second evacuation flight landed here in Santo Domingo this afternoon. As for Haiti, with no elected leader in charge, gang leaders have tried to insert themselves into the process of forming a new government, slowing down the process and threatening even more violence. Tarika?
Manuel Bajorquez, thank you.
Crazy. With a lengthy and often violent history of outside intervention in the country, some Haitians have objected to any foreign troop presence. The Haitian people have kept the bitter taste of foreign force in charge of our situation. Theft, rape, cholera, food dependence, deregulation of the economic system, without mentioning the fact that we don't remember seeing then gang leaders be arrested or rendered unable to do harm. All right. Well, I want to play this video here from Dan Wooten.
No.
I'm going to go back over here. Dan was kicked off of GB News in a horrible act of censorship. And I just kind of want to say solidarity to him and play his video because Lawrence Fox had said something that was uncouth. Dan was not properly outraged, and he lost his whole channel. I mean, GB News stands up as a bastion for quote unquote free speech, but they have this thing called Off-Cam, which controls everything that people say on media. And Dan was kicked off. I believe Calvin Robinson was kicked off. Who's the other guy? Mark Stein was kicked off. A lot of these guys have had their you know, kind of, they've been pledging their lives, their fortunes, and sacred honor on the line. So I'm going to play this video here from Dan Wooten here.
Oh, where was I? Before I was so rudely interrupted. Wow. Weeks of silence have turned into months of silence. I'm sure you remember why. In one of the biggest MSM beat-ups in history, I was taken off air because of comments Lawrence Fox made about the flame-throwing leftist commentator Ava Santina. As my friend Megan Kelly told me, you were the first broadcaster in this world to be cancelled for not being offended enough by something. GB News itself argued to our off-communist government regulator that this entire incident did not breach the broadcasting code. And there was absolutely no outrage over the British Bashing Corporation broadcasting Corin Mitchell and Carol Vorderman talking about not wanting to shag Lawrence on Have I Got News a few days later. But as is often the case, the establishment cancel culture mob won. My complete cancellation in the mainstream media is no coincidence, by the way. I knew it was inevitable. Just days before the Lawrence incident, that so-called conservative Caroline Dynage called for me to be taken off air in her role as the head of the UK Parliament's Media Select Committee. So we are increasingly becoming an authoritarian state, where dissident voices are taken down by wholesale abuses of the political and legal system. Now the off-communists, who have already destroyed free speech on TV, well, they're coming to patrol the internet. I'm convinced that if I did not work for GB News, I would not have been under a sustained attack over completely spurious allegations made against me by a violent convicted criminal, convicted extortionist, convicted phone hacker, convicted activist, and an ex who had admitted to being a psychopath. And while I'm relieved that after 6 months I was completely exonerated by two investigations by the Metropolitan and Scottish Police, the determined attempt by Byline Times to quite literally destroy my life over lies nearly worked. Huge damage has been done, because these days the process is the punishment, with social media acting as public executioner. I always said this was a witch hunt and there was no criminality. But now that's been confirmed by the police, do you think that's enough for the left? Of course not. Leftist so-called journalists James O'Brien, Emily Maitlis, Marina Perkis, and Carol Vorderman were all taken in by the Byline scam. You'd think they'd know better, especially O'Brien, after he was equally duped by the paedophile Carl Beach over Operation. You can lose your job simply for calling Sam Smith a man. He is, by the way. The impact of the off-communists has had an absolutely chilling effect on the ability to broadcast freely on TV in the UK if you step outside the cozy lefty establishment media consensus. The fear of being labelled transphobic has seen apparently serious journalists describe a male rapist in a wig as a she. During COVID, standing up against...
So I just want to stand with Dan Wooten or any of the other journalists out there who are speaking truth and taking the big hits. Honestly, sometimes I think to myself that the Lord keeps our channel kind of small, and every time our channel gets big and takes off, or we get a video that has, you know, we've had a lot of videos with hundreds of thousands of views. Every time it seems like we kind of get seen, it comes back a little bit, and it's like the people who are safe follow us. We don't get a lot of trolls We don't get a lot of haters. And those who are supposed to find us, find us. And I think it's the secret narrow road. It's kind of like Resistance Chicks is a safe place for those who want God, who want the truth, who can get what they need to get to go out into the world and preach it to the craziness. Because this guy's out there and they tried to totally destroy his life. Calvin Robinson, especially all those guys over in the UK, they are all there. It's a character assassination is what they do. And the process is the punishment, what he said there. It's true. It's true. The process is the punishment. It's not that he would be convicted of any sort of crime. The process of having your name go through the mud. Mark Steyn has had several like heart attacks and he's in a wheelchair because he's been falsely accused by this journalist guy and is suing him. And so I just want to take a minute, Father God, I just lift up everybody who's speaking the truth. I just ask a protection around us all. I just ask you that no weapon formed against us will prosper. I just plead the blood of Jesus over our minds and bodies and spirits. And I just pray, Father God, that when we do speak out, when the people who are speaking out, that you get behind them, that you rally behind them, and the angels speak their words out there, and that those who are causing the oppression, those who are causing the injustice, those who are causing the censorship, will be exposed and that you will turn it on them. So we have this one. Are you far right? It seems like everything is now far right. You might have some swear words here.
Polite and smart and punctual, it once was good to be. You answered for your actions, and a woman was a she. You'd stand up for your people, if needs be, even fight. But now, if you uphold such values, then you are far right. Oh, we're all far right now, we're all far right now. Peterson, Rogan, Shapiro, E-I-E-I-E-I-O. We worship Mussolini, his portrait's in the loft. Must say Twitter, Heil Hitler, we're all far right now. Oh, you say you're in the middle, a moderate individual, a Gladstonian liberal. You once laughed at Donald Trump, you're probably a fascist too. There once was a great speaker called Martin Luther King. Said character's what matters, not the colour of your skin. But conduct doesn't count now, just your identity. If you should ever question this, you're racist, obviously. Oh, we're all racist now, we're all racist now. Off to the gallows we must go, E-I-E-I-E-I-O. Worse than Winston Churchill, worse than Enoch Powell, Ku Klux Klan and Jimmy Fallon, we're all racist now. Oh, the countryside is racist, dogs and cats are racist, eating meat is racist, Black Lives Matter's even racist. Do you know what's also racist? You found out I am dyslexic. I thought I was just thick. My son, he is dyspraxic. I'd presumed he was a dick. My mother is bulimic. My mate's got OCD. My girlfriend is bipolar. That gives me anxiety. Oh, we're all mental now, we're all mental now. Off to the madhouse we must go. La 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 la. Nutty as a fruitcake, demented and deranged. Cuckoo, psycho, wacko, loco. We're all mental now. Oh my, what is coming next? What is coming next? What is coming next? Oh my, what is coming next? We're probably all pedos too. Dirty little pedo hanging around the Lido in your little speedos. Far right.
Okay. I knew we would end it somehow weirdly at the end there. But yeah, it kind of got a poke fun on it because it's ridiculous. But here we have some poking fun at Justin Trudeau, who says that from Sky News Australia, Justin Trudeau talking about how climate change and democracy don't seem to work together.
Have a quick look at the laughable Justin Trudeau talking how climate change and democracy don't seem to work together. Have a listen.
We're all facing a series of challenges, new and old. We're still reeling from a pandemic that put immense pressure on our democracies. We're seeing growing distrust of government and media and increased polarization exacerbated by misinformation and disinformation. We're dealing with insecurity caused by armed conflicts and climate change. So today, I'm announcing that Canada is investing $8.4 million on research across the global south to better understand how climate change interacts with democratic decline.
That's too good. I mentioned a comedy show, How Climate Change, James, Interacts with Democratic Decline. These people are completely bonkers.
Well, Rowan, it's the same thing. You know, it's climate change. It's misinformation, it's disinformation, it's, you know, propaganda, it's alt-right, all of these sort of things. They come up with these bogeymen that wind up having one result. We have to make sure that you have free speech to say the things that are approved. We have democracy to vote for the approved candidates. It's all about narrowing freedom, narrowing your choices, Rowan and
Absolutely.
Rita. That's where this is all going.
Well, that's the comedy hour. I tell you, Trudeau, it doesn't get any funnier than that.
You see, the problem is, and he's said this before too, and he should really be hammered for this, but he's not, because we don't live in a fair world, so nothing's fair. Justin Trudeau said he envied Chairman Mao because he could just get things done in a dictatorship. That's where we're at. So back to this video, back to the Moscow. I found this video with Victoria Nuland, where I told you about. With the attacks in Moscow. Here we have Victoria Nuland went to Kiev in Ukraine and said there would be surprises for Putin.
Mr. Putin's going to get some nice surprises on the battlefield, and that Ukraine will make some very strong success this year.
What's she doing? Who is this chick, and how does she get to go around? She doesn't have a gun in her hand. Her life isn't on the line, right? Come on. I have an aerial view of the mall, if you guys want to see it. Like I said, I'm not showing any of the crazy stuff, the shooting, actual shooting. That's a fire, man. That's a fire. Wow. It's cold there. Snow on the ground, snow on the buildings. Woof. Woof. Hard to think about, honestly. Hard to think about it all. All right. So in Brazil, I'm going to go to Brazil for a second because Bolsonaro won that election. Okay. There was too much attention was on him too early. And they were able to get their guy in there. Lula, I think. The CIA was. This guy was put in prison, brought out of prison to run for president again. Lula. Don't talk to me about corruption. Don't talk to me about corruption. So now Bolsonaro's son, who's been friends with Donald Trump Jr. and has been on Bannon's show and speaks out. Brazil charges Javier... Jair Bolsonaro's youngest son with money laundering. So the Brazilian newspaper Globo revealed on Wednesday that prosecutors in the country are pursuing charges against 25-year-old Jair Renan Bolsonaro, the youngest son of the nation's president. He appeared to confirm the charges in remarks to the Globo affiliate. Leaking of the details of the case to the media was very detrimental to the defense, due process, and presumptive of innocence. The Brazilian newspaper Estado independently confirmed the criminal case. So I guess this one isn't the one. I don't know if this is the one that's been on with Bannon or not. Bolsonaro faces several other criminal cases, including allegations he plotted a coup against Lula and that he played a role in the January 8th. Get it? January 6th, January 8th, 2023 riot. Against Lula's inauguration and third term, opponents of the inauguration argued that as a convicted felon, Lula should never have been allowed to run for president. Lula was allowed on the ballot after the Supreme Federal Tribunal, the nation's highest court, overturned his multiple convictions on procedural grounds. This is monkey banana, what do you call it? Banana Republic. Failing to present any exonerating evidence. They just put him back in power. This is what the elites do. This is how they run the world. Bolsonaro, the most popular president in Brazil's history. I mean, people love this guy. He saved Brazil. He was the first one to start saving, in the name of Jesus, a South American country. Next, El Salvador, then Argentina. But the elites around the world don't want a Bolsonaro. He's too Trumpish. So they got to go after him, and he's going to go after his kids. That's what they're doing here in the United States. That's what they're doing over there in the UK. That's what they're doing here. We got to be in our, we got to be in the Holy Spirit, guys. The case against Jair Bolsonaro of fabricating ghost people and companies with whom his enterprise allegedly did business, including a person named something. To contrast, Jair Bolsonaro's older sons, who had pursued careers in public office, Jair was largely kept out of politics. He notably made headlines in May 2020 after the video game streaming platform Twitch banned him for telling fellow players not to support Wuhan coronavirus lockdown measures. So he's one of us, huh? Former Bolsonaro was loudly opposed to the lockdown business. The elder Bolsonaro did not immediately comment on the charges this week, but denied ever claiming to consume a... Oh, so former President Bolsonaro was loudly opposed to locking down his businesses and schools during the days of the pandemic. His indictment surfacing on Tuesday is tied to such... So Bolsonaro is actually tied. Let me try to bring this up because I know Bolsonaro is charged. This is so stupid. Listen to this. Javier Bolsonaro? Jair Bolsonaro? How do you say it? Allegedly using fake coronavirus vaccine. Oh my gosh, they are indicting him over this. So Bolsonaro, the president, on Tuesday was indicted on charges of conspiracy and inserting false data into government information systems, accusing him of falsifying proof of ingestion of the COVID vaccine to travel to the United States. If prosecutors use the indictment to formally file charges, Bolsonaro could face up to 12 years in prison. The indictment is the latest legal action against Bolsonaro by the government of socialist convicted felon Lula da Silva, who narrowly defeated Bolsonaro in the 2022 presidential election. Bolsonaro's supporters decry the election as unfair, citing the nebulous circumstances under which the Supreme Court, the nation's highest court, overturned the multiple convictions against Lula on charges of corruption, real corruption, and this guy wouldn't take your stupid vaccine. You want to put him in jail for 12 years, but this guy is a real criminal. I'll tell you who's a criminal. Everybody on that Supreme Tribunal. And you want Jesus to be your Supreme Tribunal here right now in Jesus' name. The armed forces of Brazil added to concerns about election integrity by publishing a statement in which it did not exclude the possibility of the existence of fraud or inconsistency in the electronic voting machines of 2022. Following Lula's inauguration, the Brazilian government banned Bolsonaro from holding public office until 2030, launched multiple police raids against Bolsonaro and his allies, seized his passport to prevent him from leaving the country. The charges revealed on Tuesday stem from Bolsonaro's last departure from the country, a prolonged visit to the United States from December 2022 to March of 2023. At the time, the administration of the leftist president Joe Biden maintained a ban on foreign nationals entering the United States without proof that they had ingested one of the several approved vaccines. Bolsonaro has for years vocally opposed the use of the vaccine and said that he personally would not take it, as he had already recovered from the infection. Brazilian police officers raided Bolsonaro's home in May, claiming to have evidence that he used false vaccine cards to get himself and his 12-year-old daughter, Laura, into America. His wife, Michelle Bolsonaro, reportedly consumed a vaccine product. Consumed. Police also raided the home of top Bolsonaro aide, Lieutenant Colonel Mauro Cid. Brazilian police indicted Bolsonaro along with 16 other people. Cid procured a plea bargain agreement after telling police that Bolsonaro found out he had access to vaccine cards and ordered him to print illegitimate vaccination proof cards for himself and his daughter. He claimed that he printed the vaccine cards and gave them to Bolsonaro in person. Jesus. Take the wheel on this one. This man needs justice. Oh, this man needs justice so bad. I cannot believe. I'll give you the picture of who we're talking about here. Oh, my word. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. All right. What else we got here this week? Coming out of Brazil has been on my heart since I was supporting Bolsonaro before everybody else seemed to get on the bandwagon. It feels like we're always two steps ahead. And I could just sense that God was with this man. But I'm telling you, when you step out against the regime, they're going to try to take you down. You need to pray for him. Especially if you have any sort of South American heritage, pray for him. Pray. Let's just pray right now. Father God, I lift up South America. Father God, I know that you're moving. I know that you're raising up great leaders. I just pray for the good leaders. I pray for Bolsonaro. I pray, Father God, for vindication. I pray, Father God, for the conviction of those who are going unjustly after this man and after his sons. And I pray, Father God, that, you know, if we appeal to heaven right now, as our founding fathers had an appeal to heaven flag, when there is no earthly, good, earthly, righteous government to appeal to, we appeal to heaven. It's a pine tree. And I just, Father God, I just appeal to heaven right now for Bolsonaro and his family. I appeal to heaven for the Brazilians, that they would get on their faces before you, that they would repent of being the plastic surgery country of the world. They would repent of putting so much stock in what people look like, and they would then, God, you can come in and you can move in that nation, and you can remove the corruption right now in Jesus' name. Brazil, the Lord says it's time for you to repent of being this plastic surgery capital of the nation, for putting so much stock in your booty procedures and your beaches. And the Lord says, if you want to have a good government, you've got to go back to a sound mind, and you've got to go back to sound money. You've got to go back to morals. You have to go back to morals. Brazil, you're on the right track. God gave you a Bolsonaro, and he wants to give you even better. And he wants to let all of your people go free. But he needs you to turn. He needs you to repent as a nation on your face before him. It's not enough to just ask God to take away the corruption, but you have to ask God to take the corruption away from you first. That's true. So what's going on in Cuba? Anybody know what's going on in Cuba? Craziness. I'm just going to bring up this article. You guys know what's going on in Cuba? Starved and without electricity, hundreds of Cubans nationwide take the streets chanting freedom. Hundreds of Cuban citizens took the streets of Santo de Cuba and Bayamo on Sunday to protest, last Sunday, against power blackouts, severe food shortages, and a total lack of political rights under the communism in the country. It's not in English. This is on the 17th of March. Anybody have any Cuban relatives, know what's going on down there? So Cuba's economic situation has deteriorated significantly in the past decade, as more than six decades of communist rule have left the nation and its infrastructure in complete ruin, prompting the worst economic and migrant crisis in the nation's history. Power blackouts that can last up to 20 hours a day, which have plagued Cuban citizens for years, have dramatically worsened in recent weeks. The Castro regime authorities admitted over the weekend that the entire region of the country are enduring blackouts practically all day. The daily blackouts now include the capital city of Havana, which had previously been spared from the worst of the consequences. So last Sunday, there were peaceful protests that began in the streets of eastern Santo de Cuba, extending to the other areas as the day went by. As the protests in Santiago continued, Cuban Communist Party Secretary Beatriz Johnson arrived at the premise attempting to appease the protesters as they made their demands known. The protest participants continued to chant at her, saying that they did not want to hear any excuses and demanding freedom. In another video smuggled out of the country, the protesters appeared to interrupt speeches by plainclothes communist officials with chants demanding power and food. The regime officials attempted to silence the crowd with little success. So loud, buddy. What do you guys think? What's going on down there? What is going on in Cuba? Transgender treatments for children, one of the greatest ethical scandals in medical history, for a French report. Huh? Really? Well, if the French are saying it, you know it's bad. The practice of sexually transitioning children will be remembered as one of the greatest ethical scandals in the history of medicine, a report commissioned by a French senator stated. A landmark report produced at the behest of the center-right Les Républicains in the French Senate found that the medical industry embarked upon the practice of giving children life-altering transgender treatments with little evidence of its effectiveness while ignoring the side effects. The report found that while parents were often pressured by doctors to put their children on puberty-blocking drugs to prevent suicide, there is little proof that this course of action was any better, had any better outcomes for the child. The head of the plastic surgery department of George Pompidou Hospital in Paris told the report that there was no evidence that sex changes for children improve their quality of life because there are obviously no randomized trials. Obviously. No randomized trials. But you know what? Aha, the FDA settles ivermectin case, agreeing to remove controversial stop it post. And there have been a lot of randomized trials for ivermectin. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration has agreed to remove social media posts and web pages that urge people to stop taking ivermectin to treat COVID. You are not a horse. You're not a cow. Seriously, stop it, y'all. They had to take that down. So there's no randomized trials for the children. Here, obviously. Meanwhile, there was a prevalence of depression and other mental illnesses among children seeking to change their gender. Go figure. The report found that 70% of those seeking gender reassignment had anxiety depressive disorders, and 30% had previously suffered from some form of trauma, typically sexually abused. Go figure. Most disturbingly, 30% of those children seeking to change their gender were found to have been autistic. Oh, Lord, have mercy. The evidence of the safety of prescribing puberty blockers to children was also based on very fragile bases. The protocol claimed that the effects of the puberty-blocking drugs given to children as young as 12 were reversible, yet the French report said that this was not trustworthy, given that it was only based on the observation of 54 patients and it was funded in part by the pharmaceutical company which produced the puberty-blocking drugs. Conversely, Denmark, Finland, Sweden, and the United Kingdom have all begun to restrict the use of puberty blockers. I don't even see that picture. We got to stand up for our kids, guys. We have to. Something going on in Ireland. Their prime minister resigned, and they got the youngest prime minister ever. Ireland is poised to get its youngest ever premier after Simon Harris secured the leadership of the Fine Gael party on Sunday, replacing Leo Varadkar, who announced his surprise resignation last week. The 37-year-old Harris, who is the government's further and higher education minister, was the only candidate to put his name forward to succeed Varadkar, who had been Ireland's previous youngest prime minister, or what Ireland calls the Taoiseach. Harris won a series of endorsements within the Fine Gael parliamentary party and is expected to be formally elected premier in the Irish parliament in April. I think he's done a really good job in securing leadership. Interesting. The former prime minister has had two spells as the Taoiseach between 2017 and 2020 and again since December 2022. He's the country's youngest. I believe, yes, people were hoping that it would be a good thing that he resigned because he played a leading role in campaigns to legalize same-sex marriage, approved in 2015, and repeal a ban on abortion, which passed a vote in 2018. He led Ireland during the years after Britain's 2016 decision to leave the European Union, Brexit, and had huge implications on Ireland, an EU member that shares a border with the UK's Northern Ireland. So people were happy that he resigned. I don't think they got a good replacement, though. French's Le Pen is calling out Meloni, demands the Italian prime minister to close if she will support the EU chief von der Leyen for a second term. Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni was called out by the French populist Marine Le Pen on Saturday during a video address to the Winds of Change convention for not coming out against the second term of European Commissioner von der Leyen. Very interesting. So here we have Marine Le Pen calling out Meloni. Marine Le Pen just confronted Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni at an ID Group EP event in Rome about her position regarding a second term for Ursula von der Leyen. Giorgia, you have to tell the truth. Will you support von der Leyen or not? I believe you will. Italians have a right to know. I believe that the only ones in Italy who oppose the bureaucracy will be the Matteo Salvini and the Lega. Put some pressure on her for sure. She came in, she was supposed to work with Salvini and make things happen. But she said she was going to put a Maloney said she was going to put a stop to all of the illegal migration. She and Salvini were like best buddies. They were running together. I'll tell you what, though. She seems to be a puppet. She seems to be a liar. She seems to be lying. It's kind of a sad set of events, but I think she did. I think she lied. Oh, by the way, the Taliban has come out and condemned the attack on Moscow. Interesting. All right, before we pop off here, I know I got a short news show, but that's because Michelle's not popping in to give some awesome commentary, which she usually does. So you're just hearing me. Denmark are honest enough to publish true crime figures. What does that mean for our country's Design of Farage, which is open to foreign criminal gangs? Denmark records criminal convictions by national origin. This is a graph showing violent crime. All right, I'm going to have to make this bigger. Can we see this? Okay. All right. So not adjusted by age or gender here. What is this? So it appears violent crime conviction rate in Denmark. So these different countries are in different colors. And what we're seeing here is that there's a lot of people from Kuwait, Tanzania, Lebanon, Somalia, Jordan, Uganda, Iraq, Algeria, Yugoslavia, Ethiopia, Serbia, Egypt, Iran, Afghanistan. Wow. And that's going to be your highest amounts of crime. Wow. What do you think? What do you think, guys? All right. So I'm just seeing here if Nigel had something else to say before we sign off. I know that Matt had said, did you see what Nigel has to say? Oh, he's talking about he's got his statement with Matt West. You know, he was debanked. So let's have what he has to say about being debanked here one more time.
The Farage moment has to be the new chief executive officer of the NatWest Banking Group this morning, appearing before a parliamentary committee. Have a listen.
Significant majority of our exits, over 97%, in information that's previously been provided to the committee, are for fraud or financial crime reasons. So any exits outside of that are a very small number. One of the reasons for that could be reputational concerns, but it's an absolute minority. It could, for example, be where customers are not operating within the terms and conditions of their accounts, maybe operating a business account through a personal account, or their account activity is different to what was expected, for example, very high cash usage. So in summary, reputational risk is a very small number in the context of the account exits.
So what's changed? If you use too much cash in your business, NatWest don't want you. If you have any payments coming into your business or personal account that are unusual, it'll light up an alarm bell to say you could be a money launderer. I don't see culturally, frankly, that anything's changed. I know the government have proposed legislation. Well, we need it pretty blooming quickly.
I want to see, before I sign off here, if Farming Britain has a new video. They do. Let's go see what Farming Britain is doing, because I love them. Farming Britain. What's we're going to do? We're going to check them out. This is a new channel. I suggest you go and subscribe to it. Charlotte's World, Gareth Billions, and RIP to Family Farms. Oh, wait. I think we... Did we see that one?
Go big or go niche. It's the start of our robotic dairy farming journey. I give David a tour of our place in Cumbria and try to sell him my favourite cow nuisance.
She'd love to live with a Dexter. It's all she's ever wanted in life.
Gareth's Billions. We find out what it takes to go viral on social media.
You'll get the opportunity to see it yourself.
Plus, enough is enough. We meet the arable farmer and his pedigree Hereford, who's selling up for his sanity.
To make a decent living, you need 1,500 to 2,000 acres. We've got 300. We don't stand a chance.
We have news and farming YouTube. Welcome to Farming Britain.
You can squeeze into a farming day.
A bit frisky in the field this morning.
Cows or sheep?
I prefer cows personality-wise, but I prefer sheep because it's manageability. I can do it myself.
As well as looking after her animals, there's the construction of a high-tech micro-niche milking shed, which needs rubble and robots.
This is cowbling.
This is very cowblingy.
Let's start at the noisy end and feeding time at the zoo.
It's all going on in here.
She's literally telling you that she's laid an egg.
Yeah, yeah. She's very proud of herself, isn't she?
See, I arranged this. I knew you were coming and I thought, do you know what? What you want to see is an egg being laid. Right, I'll go and get some feed. I won't be a moment. I hope they don't escape in the meantime. Oh, it's right, I'm doing it in here. I'm waiting for them to shift.
Okay. Food shower.
Well, yeah, it's just a diversion tactic, because otherwise they try and get you.
You lost many limbs, are you all right?
I'm close to losing limbs, and...
What? There's three videos from Mom. Okay.
They are ready to go, and I mean, like, they should have gone already.
For those people who won't understand that, why are they ready to go? What are you looking for?
So, these are sausages. Oh, they are. This is Joe and Ollie. And they are bought purely for sausages. We're not chops people.
How many sausages will you get out of the...
We're going to need an extra freezer.
Any reason for Tamworths?
Actually, yes, there is. Lambing on TikTok, it's taken down. Lambing is taken down. Like, that's how serious it is. So the disconnect is actually growing because the social media platforms that we are... using having things that are designed to protect children and protect people from, you know, graphic content, they are categorizing farming as graphic content, so no wonder the divide's growing. This is a minute Merlot.
For her, educating people about life in the country is best achieved through kindness and humor. Continuing in that vein, let's chat about those soon to be installed milking robots.
I know what you're imagining. Like, and then this will flip out of the way, and then these will come in on these little arms, and they will attach to each teat like this, and then obviously do their job.
We're just speaking with every party and every person that's willing to listen, so we can get the message out there as a farming community to make a difference and hopefully save our industry for future generations.
Farmers and their family staged a protest against Welsh government policies, which threaten their livelihoods. Those policies include planting trees across Snowdonia, while signing deals with slash and burn farmers in the Amazon basin to provide Wales with cheap meat. Organisers say between 10,000 and 15,000 people were due to descend on the Welsh Assembly in Cardiff on the 28th of February 2024. Welsh ministers started by ridiculing the farmers' protests, but now appear to be scared into making new pledges, though farmers say that comments alone by politicians are not enough to reassure them. Outgoing First Minister Mark Drakeford, here pictured in a red fleece, led the attack on the Welsh countryside and has now taken to dodging into doorways to avoid farmers. This was a farming protest on Anglesey. The Pembrokeshire farmer facing ruin because of bovine TB, whom we featured in the first episode of Farming Britain, has sent us this update.
There were some inconclusive bloods done the other week, so they were retested last week. Unfortunately, we've lost a few more. The next stage of blood testing, there was a little cock-up around paperwork. Not my fault, of course, but a little cock-up around paperwork. So we are going to be doing a complete herd test with skins again, then we will do the hypersensitive test following that.
You can come over here.
The centre of Brussels became a car park on the 26th of February 2024 as farmers launched snap protests in response to the EU's Green New Deal. These pictures from Thomas O'Reilly from the European Conservatives in Brussels show how few attractors than the 2nd of February protests strategically closed the Brussels transport grid in time for the Monday morning commute. O'Reilly said he could smell fire around Berlaymont and the European Commission headquarters as police showed force, then reported flash bombs, horns and fires outside as farmers shut down
Okay, I got Matt in. Go ahead, Matt.
Well, we just want to make sure we don't abandon the people that are still, you know, living a basic godly lifestyle off the land. Because, you know, one of these days, even the globalist elites will realize that, wow, all our modern methods aren't working.
Right.
And especially when you... Okay, I'm kind of off the screen. But yeah, especially when, you know, you... Through the, what is it that Mike Adams talks about, the Haber-Bosch whatever process where they turn the fossil fuels into fertilizer? Where they, that's the thing the Nazis came up with where they extract the nitrogen.
Never heard of it.
It's kind of over my head. But,
okay.
But yeah, basically, you know, you buy the fertilizer like down at Grant's Farm or wherever the place is local to you. And you just see three numbers on the side of that package. The nitrogen, phosphorus, and what's the other one? Potassium or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, when you look at like sea salts and different things, like there's 50 or 100 different things in them. Like, okay, where's the, like if magnesium is the center of the chlorophyll molecule, where, okay, how come we're not putting magnesium back in the soil? You know? We're just depleting our soils of everything necessary to sustain the life of plants and us. Whereas if you live off the land like, you know, these people in the UK are doing with the more old-fashioned ways, then it's sustainable.
They because, really take care of their animals.
Because, yeah, if you have
they keep them outside,
animals
they keep
that
them
are
on grass.
Dropping manure down,
right?
Then all the nutrients are going back into the soil. And that goes back to, you know, people that are into various, like, no-till methods and, like, other people, they, you know, get trees that people are getting rid of and put down the mulch for the back-to-Eden method.
Right. So
it all comes down to the nutrients in the soil. Whereas, like, the Bill Gates idea of, like, you know, let's block the sunlight and, you know, let's produce plants for food without really putting anything in the soil, then you're just stuck with GMO apples with like no nutrients in them compared to apples like in the 50s or something like that.
Right. Yeah. I love that. I love that show. I love that program, Farming Britain. I love the way they do farms. It's so much different than even here in the United States. Their cows are out there on grass. Their sheep are out there on grass. They love their animals. It's more of a posh thing to do, actually, to be a farmer, because it's kind of even expensive to be one.
Well, yeah, and you get to kind of be out there on the land and really roam free instead of having like a little tiny house in the city somewhere.
Right. It's God. All right. So I got three more from Mom that Michelle sent me. This is from National News with Mike Adams. Russia says it is prepared to use nuclear weapons if threatened by the West.
I don't speak Russian, so I just go by what everyone else is saying. But, you know, the message that Putin put out, it seems like it's a pretty decent message. If you're a Russian, like, you know, we're sorry for the people that died and passed away. And, you know, we're thankful for the first responders to get there and try to get the situation under control. And
so he says this, from a military technical point of view, we are, of course, ready. In the United States, there are enough specialists in the fields of Russian-American relations and in the field of strategic restraint. Therefore, I do not think that here everything is rushing to it, nuclear confrontation, but we are ready for this. He did say, however, that if the U.S. were to carry out any nuclear tests, Russia would conduct tests of their own. So I really think...
That giant nuclear weapon that was like, what was it, like 50 or 100 megatons that they released way north of Russia on like an island in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, yeah.
That was like back in what, like the 50s or the 60s?
Okay.
With primitive aircraft, and they dropped this nuclear bomb and they're just flooring it in their airplane. And it's back then the planes are so slow, like it could barely get out of the way of this giant
really
mushroom cloud that was coming up.
Well, that doesn't sound good.
But yeah, it's before it was kind of like Russia was like the good cop.
Be a part of it.
Putin was sort of the good cop. And then you have Medvedev that was sort of like, yeah, everyone attack Russia. We bomb you. We nuke you into oblivion sort of a thing.
All right, we've got this Peter Richardson on the defense of the nation. Now, this is the UKIP party that put this out this week. UKIP used to be Nigel Farage's party before Nigel Farage went to the Reform Party, but UKIP is still actually standing and going.
Good morning, conference. How are you? Thank you. Those that were here last night, I hope you had a good time. I certainly did. So, a stirring tune from 1940, when Britain had its back against the wall. And we're pretty much like that now. However, the song, Red, White and Blue, what does it mean to you? Think about it. I might ask some questions later. And I never pick on the front row, so it'll be Jamie at the back. So, this flag came into being in 1801. 223 years ago, and it was all the countries of the United Kingdom came together as one country. It's instantly recognised all over the world. And for me, it stands for democracy, free speech, fair play, and many other wonderful things about our country that is our lifestyle. So, the number one priority of any government is the security of the nation and the freedom of its people. The defence of our country, I'm afraid, has been lost many, many times in the last 14 years by our Conservative government. It's failed us on many fronts, and we've had a couple of Trojan horses land on our shore. The number one, of course, is those people that come from the Middle East and Africa, totally unvetted, could be criminals, could be terrorists, but they're taken into our society, and we don't know how that is going to turn out. They have a culture that is incompatible with ours, and I'm afraid to say it. I've lived in the Middle East, I've lived in Africa, and I've worked all over, and I see their culture, which works fine in those countries. It's totally incompatible with ours. The Conservatives, Labour, Liberal, and even Reform have no idea or clue how to stop the boats. It is very easy to stop the boats, but it takes moral courage. And unfortunately, only UKIP has a plan and the moral courage to do so. The armed forces, I'm afraid, are so very, very, very numbers cut. Equipment is short. Ammo is short because it's all going to Ukraine and it's not being replaced. Our number one battalion is now under command of the EU, under PESCO, and they are the spearhead battalion, and in any conflict they can be called at any time by the EU to go and fight. In today's current climate, they probably last less than 2 weeks. Their morale is low. Capital recruitment is ridiculous. It takes up to 400 days from application to basic training. Experienced soldiers are leaving in droves due to diversion and inclusivity. There are 110 at the last count personnel whose job it is to go around and make sure that our armed forces are diverse and fully inclusive. Doesn't really help when you're facing the enemy 100 metres away, I can tell you that.
It seems like just like the police in the United States.
Let's have a look at Russia.
Good cops are getting
it's out. A stalemate at the moment. We honestly should not be getting in there other than trying to negotiate a peace. Okay. Putin is sitting pretty. He doesn't want to advance. He wants to keep the war going for as long as he possibly can. Russia sits on vast amounts of coal, gas, iron, precious metals, and about a third of the world's grain. all of which have more than quadrupled since the war started. Russia has virtually no debt, and life there at the moment is pretty good.
We're still waiting for the
Hamas and Gaza
that actually hurt Russia.
Very easily solved. The people of Gaza, all they have to do is round up the Hamas terrorists, hand them over to the IDF, war finished. But unfortunately, they're in with Hamas, they support them, and this is going to drag on quite a long time. So, only UKIP can and will stop the boats.
So what do you think, Matt?
I mean, you could go in so many different directions based on what he said, because there's so much content that he put out there. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, in World War II, like the United States, well, during like World War I, World War II, both the United States and the UK, they were promoting people to live off the land.
Matt's painting, by the way.
Yeah, I'm kind of off the screen still. He came down with
papers. Go ahead, keep going.
But yeah, they promoted people to have, you know, backyard chickens, to save your country and stuff like that. Grow your own food, people, you know. Hey, you got some free time. Might as well grow some stuff. Mm-hmm. But now it's like, let's do everything possible to make us dependent upon somebody else. Mm-hmm. And the system of shipping like 48 different parts to projects clear all over the world. Like, you get a part from Russia here and a couple things from China there and Indonesia and who knows where. And then we slap them together in Taiwan or who knows where. Mm-hmm. And then it comes to your house. But, you know, back in the day, you couldn't really have that. It wouldn't really work because all those shipping boats would be sunk by German U-boats or something out in the middle of nowhere somewhere.
Yeah.
And you need to have that self-reliance. It doesn't seem like it's that important in peacetime. It's like, yeah, why not have cheap stuff, you know?
Yeah. It's unfortunate that Nigel Farage made such great headway with the UKIP party. That was basically the Brexit party. And a few extremists got into the party, said some crazy things, and it became a toxic name. Because the platform of UKIP is really good. And they've got a lot of really good ideas. And I would say that everything he said there, that I would agree with everything that he said there.
Well, and he's kind of made comments regarding that, I guess, in a sense, in reference to the Brexit and how, yes, it got implemented. But he said any problems that you see with Brexit are due to them implementing it in a manner that's completely incompetent and just completely opposite from the way he would have gone with it. So he was basically on TV saying that, you know, don't complain to me about the problems with Brexit.
Yeah.
I don't know if you played the clip of him. He put out a video clip about the migrants.
I didn't.
In the boats.
I couldn't find it.
Oh, it's right on his Twitter. I'm not into the whole X thing. That's just kind of a weird name for me, but
yeah,
it's pretty good. There he is.
Okay, so how far down do you think it is?
He doesn't post like a ton of stuff, so it wouldn't be buried too far.
Does that say boats? Just the one where he's talking?
Yeah, well, there, you may have put out more. There's the initial one where they show the boat. Like, yeah, that one.
That's only 14 seconds.
Well, there might be a longer one.
Was he talking during it?
Yeah, he shows the boat coming in with like 450 people on it. And like he's saying, there are people in the UK that are struggling to get ahead and to buy their own house or something. And, you know, they're kind of struggling to make it the right way.
Editor, Mark, a stabbing on one of the boats. Have we heard of these incidents before?
Yeah, we have, actually. It might come as a surprise to many people, talk of a stabbing on board a boat, but actually there are increasing levels of violence, particularly on the French side of the channel. And what's been happening is that over recent months, increasingly numbers of migrants who just don't have the money to buy a ticket through the proper people smuggling channels try to muscle their way onto the boats as they take off from the French shores.
And then they come face to face with the gangmasters, the people smugglers,
who meet out their own form of justice.
Yeah, proper immigration. And that can be often quite violent.
There have been a number of incidents in recent months where some bodies have been found on the beaches of northern France, and the working theory is that that has been as a result of an altercation trying to get on a boat and meeting with a violent response from those criminal gangs. They don't mess about. So it's perfectly possible that this individual, this man, may have received those stab injuries as he tried to get on this boat. Clearly, he's now been taken to hospital here in the UK. His injuries, we're told, are not life-threatening.
And Mark, we do hear that the French genuinely are stepping up their attempts to stop the boats from going, you know, puncturing dinghies. Even a case I saw last week of French officers wading into the water, almost trying to drag a boat back. Drones being used in the riverways, which have been a much more common way for boats to launch in the last year or so. But they can't stop it, can they?
No, and that's why I think we should be worried about what we're seeing now unfolding on the other side of the channel, because there is no doubt, as you say, there is an intense effort that is underway by the French authorities, having received obviously many millions of pounds more from the UK government, but funding a part of that operation themselves as well. But they have a huge stretch of coastline. Having said that, though, you know, they are evident on large stretches of the coast. But the thing I think that's worrying is, despite this clear increased French police presence, we are still getting numbers of boats that are making it across the channel that are now exceeding last year's number. Now, the government trumpeted the fact that the number of migrants who'd come across last year was down 36%. We said it was more to do with the weather. They argued that actually it wasn't the weather as much the same last year as it was the year before. Whatever you believe, the fact is this year already the numbers who are coming across are up by about 500 on where they were at this point last year.
Mm. Mark White, as ever, thank you very much indeed. And
yeah, so there you go. You know, my mom has this last video, and she wanted me to do a kind of... Go ahead.
Yeah, Nigel is basically saying in one of those clips they put out in last week that you have the illegals coming in, they're going to get 4 or 5-star accommodations somewhere in a hotel or whatever, you know, and they're going to have free room and board while the other people are struggling to make it the right way.
So this this is an imam in New York, and he says he's not going to stop until Islam is in every home.
Be a part of Islam, and we will not stop until it enters every home. So I want you to repeat after me. I want to hear it in every single district. It should tremble. Brooklyn should hear it. The Bronx should hear it. Queens should hear it. Say it as if the ummah depends on this, my brothers and sisters. La ilaha. There is no God worthy of worship except Allah, the God of Jesus, the God of Moses, the God of Abraham, and the God of the last and final prophet Muhammad.
So my mom said something interesting. I'm going to kind of end with this and get your commentary on it. She said, okay, let's do it. Let's put Islam in every home. And let's talk about Islam, and let's talk about the God of Jesus and Moses and Abraham. I think that, you know, she was saying that we have a lot in common with Islam, and we need to stop being afraid of Islam, and we need to start finding a common ground with Islam, and we need to start, you know, the only way you're going to win a Muslim to Jesus is if you start to talk to them. The only way you're going to win anybody to Jesus is if you find common ground with them.
Well, that reminds me of Nabil Qureshi, whatever his name is, and his friend David, I think his name is.
Her point was, go ahead, bring Islam into every home, and we'll convert you.
That's what I did. Isn't that what I was saying? Bring Islam into every home.
We have things in common. It's just,
and we will convert you.
We'll fix you.
Come in, and we will fix you.
With my comment, it's just basically that with Nabil, his family was Muslim. They're really into the faith. And his parents even said that they had, like, these, like, spiritual giftings or something. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, they'd receive, like, visions as they're driving on the road. Like, mm-hmm. you know, there's danger ahead. You know, something bad's going to happen. You better turn around. And it's, you know, it seemed really good and spiritual on the outside. And he was totally buying it and into it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, things were going on in his life. And he was really diehard for that faith, mm-hmm. you know, and proclaiming it. Gotta watch my hand here. I'm gonna bump the mouse. But he was really bold in telling people that that was basically the way and the truth and the life. And his friend would just love on him and tell him, like, hey, have you thought about such and such? Have you read such and such? And it's just the same story as a lot of people that don't know Christ. You know, they have friends that speak into them, and then they might be people like, you know, the stories of people in the media or some sort of scientific background, like 100, 200 years ago or something like that. And they start to read the Bible from the stance of, I'm going to prove this thing wrong because mm-hmm. I got it all figured out. Mm-hmm. You know, this thing's fake. And then it's like the more they read it, the more they realize, wow, this is really mm-hmm. true. Mm-hmm. And with Nabil, he realized, wow, if I believe that Jesus is Lord and this is the way, and for him, there's going to be a heavy price to pay, or in that culture, you know, you might lose your whole family, mm-hmm. be kicked out of your whole community and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sort of like a Jewish person, you know, turning to Christ 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
But he thought it was worth it in the end, and it seemed like towards the end, he did reconcile with his family. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not sure if they've converted to Christianity, but they at least, you know, got back together to have mm-hmm. a nice, as you know, a relationship as you can have if right. if you have two different faith backgrounds, because mm-hmm. like each side thinks, you know, they're trying to like love each other the best that they can, but you know, there's this kind of discord if you're thinking like, okay, this person's not going to be with me in eternity mm-hmm. because they don't believe in Jesus or they don't believe in Allah. So,
mm-hmm. yeah. All right, you guys. So that's the show for today. Hope that you learned a lot. I hope that from beginning to end that it was entertaining and that you're going to be able to take some information forward with you. Final thoughts, Michelle. Michelle, you're a kind of a hairy, like, taller Michelle.
Yeah, I cut my hair, you know. Just a little bit off the top. So,
and then he's got this, you got your face is a little hairier than Michelle's. That's what I meant.
Well, you know.
Hairier.
Well, it's 2024.
You know. It is.
Anything's possible these days.
Any final thoughts, Matthew? Matt's birthday is on the 27th. We've got Mom's birthday was yesterday. Happy birthday to Patriot Gallery. Yeah.
So, well, I got totally derailed by that. Yeah.
Any final thoughts on the world news program today?
Well, you know, with everything going on, now's the perfect time to turn to Christ and really seek Him in spirit and in truth, the truth of God's written word for us, so that we know what His voice sounds like and what how He speaks to us. And then He can have a individual relationship with you wherever you're at. And it's good to be involved with the body of believers, but a lot of people in the Bible, New and Old Testament, they just got saved like Paul on the Damascus Road in the middle of nowhere, and are like Elijah and Elisha, where, you know, the Spirit comes upon them in a mighty way and God starts speaking to them, and He wants to do the same for you.
He does. He wants to do the same for you. All right, you guys, remember, it's not just a conspiracy theory. If it's actually the truth, check out Vicky Natale. We've been actually using her CBD oil on Mom a lot. And it's been very helpful with cramps and things like that. So check out that. Don't forget to visit over ITM Trading if you've got your, if you still have your retirement funds and your 401ks and all that stuff. I think, I don't know if Michelle's got it up here. So I can.
We don't know when it's going to be, but most people can realize that the stock market.
Can I do that one?
And the bond
there
market.
I go. OBE, Organic Body Essentials. Go ahead. Keep going.
Yeah, and 401ks and all that stuff that's just based on paper or crypto or something, it's poof, one of these days, it could go up in the air as quick as there was that quote-unquote terrorist attack in Russia, whether it was indeed Middle East terrorists or if they were paid off by Ukraine, you know, allegedly or something like that. You know, whatever the case is, something like that could happen near you, and, you know, you don't want to be stuck in something like that, where if the power went out, even if it's just temporary, like, how do you access your funds to be able to buy anything?
And then there's old
and school. how do you get food if you're not growing any and you can't buy anything because all the stores use the computerized checkout systems. It's not like cash registers from like 100-150 years ago, where it's like a bunch of primitive buttons that you push and they take, you know, gold and silver coins or something like that.
And then we'll be in Hocking Hills, Ohio. You can get 35% off, you guys. If you want to go to Old School Survival Boot Camp, use the promo code RCChicks. All right, guys, we love you. God loves you. God bless. Remember, it's not just conspiracy theory, it's actually the truth. And I'm going to hit the outro. I think it's this one.